disasters and emergencies happen to good people like you every day. The frequency of these events are increasing at an astonishing rate. Now is the time to take responsibility for preparing and empowering yourself for the inevitable. Welcome to the Survive University Podcast, where we provide an education in preparation, giving you the tools to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Now, let's get on with today's lesson.
What's up, my preps? Today we are talking to an idol of mine that I grew up watching on television doing some magnificent things and really inspired me to grow as a combat artist. I'm super excited about this show because this person I got to talk to when I went to Las Vegas to speak at a major conference. And when I found out that I was going to be able to talk to this gentleman and interview this gentleman, it just blew my mind that I had made it to a point where I would be able to sit in the same room with someone I had grown watching. So this person talks a lot about the hardships that they faced in a time when it wasn't a lot of people like him in the industry, and then also dealing with some challenges, some learning challenges and disabilities, and then also his faith and his beliefs and how he was able to maintain, grow, and sustain. And so I would love to have you listen to this and share this experience with me. OG was there, but he's not doing a lot of talking. He was in the background doing a lot of the audio and video. But he was also in the presence of this magnificent individual. So without further ado, let's listen to this episode. I'm here with Mr. Billy Blanks, and he really doesn't need any introduction. For all of those who have been out there, who have been watching martial arts movies, who've been into fitness, you know Billy Blanks is a legend, a living legend that I'm sitting with right now, has helped influence me and helped grow my life in so many ways to put me on the path of martial arts and to also be someone for me to look at and say, oh, I can do this. There are other things out there that I can do and I can be successful at that, you know, don't follow the traditional route. And so as I looked at Mr. Billy Blanks, you know, videos on YouTube and things of that nature, I was very interested in learning more about all the different lessons that you've grown in your life, because I think, you know, sometimes people, especially nowadays, we live in these sound bites. So we have these ideas that, you know, success is just so, you know, easy, or I can just, I just follow these five steps and, you know, and this, that, and the other. And really the hardship of it gets lost. The work, the effort, the real effort that goes into it gets lost in that. And so having an opportunity to talk with people like yourself who have been through it, who came from meager ends and just grew, that's very important, I think, for people to hear, because it can guide them on so many different levels. So one of the things I would like to just open the floor with is I would like to give you just an opportunity to just talk. Like you were just telling me, I would love to talk a little bit about that. If you could rehash that story about Japan. Didn't know you had a dojo in Japan. Didn't know like you had met like a real ninja before. Like, so it's some really cool stuff.
No, thank you. Thank you. I just think for me, I think one of the most important things about how I started off in martial arts is when I was 11 years old, you know, I always wanted to get into martial arts, but I have 15 brothers and sisters in my family. So my mom and dad couldn't afford for us to go to a martial arts studio. So at that time, they were building the Martin Luther King Center. And once they built the Martin Luther King Center, they had a karate program that came in. And at that time, I was in a gang. We all went down there to the center when they finished building the center, and this karate guy was inside the gym. And he walked over and he saw us. And when he walked over, in my heart, I wanted to take karate. But being with a gang, as soon as he came over, they went. He asked everybody, you guys want to take karate? And we all, I wanted to say yeah, but we said, oh, that's stuff for girls, right? But deep down inside my heart, I wanted to take karate. So we all left, and then I went back, and I said, I want to take karate. So I got involved with him, you know, teaching Tung Soo Do martial arts, and through that, as I started learning martial arts to kind of kind of find out that I had a learning disorder, right? Didn't know anything about until I turned 35 years old. And it was dyslexia.
Wow.
And having dyslexia at that time, you know, people thought that you were mentally handicapped, right? Because I was a shy kid, quiet, didn't really say too much to people because I didn't want to make mistakes. It was because I had that learning disorder. And because I had that learning disorder, I got involved with martial arts. I wanted to play team sports like football, basketball, stuff like that. But I couldn't read the plays. If they was to give me a play thing to read, I would like get it all mixed up, mm-hmm. get confused. So I'd say, oh, well, I don't want to play any sports because I look bad, right? So I got involved with the karate class. And when I got involved with the karate class, that gave me a chance to see out of my own eyes mm-hmm. that I could beat somebody. Mm. It actually opened up a door. It gave me power. You know what? Can't read that well, but I'm gonna take martial arts and make it fitness and make it what I need to do to help me make a good life for myself. And from them days forward, you know, just me working out and having a vision, looking at people in the martial art magazine, like Chuck Norris. I used to take all these famous people and put them on my wall in my basement. But the one I had at the top was Jesus. Mm-hmm. I love Jesus, right? I don't tell people what to believe in, but at the time, that's what my mom was believing in. So I picked that up. So I put him at the top and put all these great martial art people at the bottom of it and have Martin Luther King and other people like that in the mix of it. And I said, each one of these people, I want to take what they do great, and put it inside myself and make myself be a person who can go out there and help people. Mm. And went on from there. Mm.
That's real. I like how you even mentioned, you were talking about dyslexia and you were saying that you didn't know until very later on. And that had to have been very difficult because you couldn't explain what was really going on.
Couldn't.
Because you didn't have a name for it. It was just something that you were like, okay, maybe this is just something. And I think that also ties back to like business and life and success, because there are so many people out there, and that's why stuff like this is good, who are going through things and they think, mm-hmm. oh, it's just me. You know,
right, right.
Like nobody else is living through this. I don't even know how to articulate exactly what it is that is happening to me. Mm-hmm. I just feel this certain way. And I don't think anybody's interested. I don't think anybody has experienced it. So they shell up. And that makes them miss out sometime on those opportunities. So it takes a very special person, I think, or a willing person to move past that, to say, okay, I'm not sure what's happening. I can't read the plays, mm-hmm. But I'm going to find a way to do what it is that my vision is telling me to mm-hmm. do. I'm not really sure how, but I'm just going to find it. And that I think is a really valuable lesson from your story that I hear mm-hmm. that I think that people can really glean some valuable knowledge from.
And the way I found out was we were driving down the street, me and my ex-wife, and we pulled into this parking lot. I never read anything in front of her, you know? And then when they were sitting in front of this sign, we pulled in front of this martial arts studio. Okay, I know martial arts, so I can say karate. I can read that stuff out loud. Mm-hmm. So I started reading the sign. And when I read the sign, she said, you read that backwards. Read it again. And we got in an argument. I said, I'm saying it the right way. And I looked at the sign, and she's right. I read it backwards. I left mm-hmm. words out, right? And so then I went to this place in California, and they put me through all these tests and said, yeah, you have dyslexia. You have it really seriously bad, right? But back in the days, people didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. No, even in these times, if you go ask a person, you know what dyslexia? They did a big old, we did two movies on it, right? You ask people, you know what dyslexia is? People go, oh yeah, I think it's in your ankle. Oh, I think it's over here. Some people don't, even to now, people still don't know what it is, mm-hmm. right? But it's a disease that, you know, you can't get rid of it, but you can make things better. You know, and what I had to do is really focus in on if I'm reading scripts, or if I'm reading anything, if I have to really focus in on it. Because if I don't, I would leave words out. I'll be thinking that I'm writing them down, mm-hmm. but I'm not writing them down. I'm like bypassing them really, really fast. So getting in martial arts is really what gave me the confidence to be able to even sit here and talk to you.
Wow. Well, I have two questions on that mm-hmm. because one is, so again, reading scripts. So mm-hmm. now I'm reading scripts and, you know, Hollywood is, you know, I've had some experience with it on a level and they want you to say things over and over again. they want it just right how it is how they want it. They don't want you to improvise sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could only imagine how difficult it must have been to be trying to read and memorize those scripts and then, you know, say them on camera. And so how was that experience?
Well, for me, a person who has dyslexia is super good at memorizing, right? My ex-wife would read the whole script to me and I'd memorize it. And she'd read everybody's part and I would know everybody's part. I mean, when it came down to it, I could just quote all the scriptures. You mean all the everything that's in the script, like it was nothing, you know? But if you told me, okay, just take that line and gave me a new page with dialogue on it, you said, let me see you read that real fast, I would have a hard time reading it. Mm. You know, but if you say, give it to me, like I always tell people, give me things for 3 days so I can go through it. If I'm gonna go on an audition, let me have it for 3 or 4 days so I can kind of memorize what's going on. Mm-hmm. Once I memorize it, then I don't have a problem with it. You know, wow. That's what dyslexia people can do. And that kind of paid off for me. And I think that's what happened with martial arts. You know, when I first started learning martial arts, my teacher said, I don't have the patience to teach you, you know, because I got too many other students in class. Mm. But if you want to go in the back and kind of follow us, you can do that. So when I first started, that's what I did with martial arts. I just got in the back of the class and I just followed everybody. Even though I was still getting things mixed up, I kind of did that for 6-7 months. And then within 9 months, all of a sudden things changed.
Oh, wow.
Something clicked. And all of a sudden I started picking up things super fast.
Mm. Mm. I think that, tying it back into what we're talking about, which is really unique, is that it almost seems like for every weakness, there's always a strength.
Definitely.
That balances it out, you know? I learned this, you know, I did some forging once. And I remember going to out into the woods, this wooded area in Virginia, which was very uncomfortable for me. And this guy was going to teach me to forge. And so he hands me this piece of like ugly looking metal. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, that's your sword. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, that's your sword. And he was like, I'm going to show you how to make that into a sword. And so we go through, we're banging this thing, we're putting it in the fire, pulling it out, we're forging it. We make the sword. And then he's like, and we were making a broken sword, which is another story for this idea of we're all imperfect, you mm-hmm, know, but mm-hmm. in the hands of the right person, we can defend, or with the right will behind it, we can defend what we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we needed to break the sword. So he's hitting it and he's like, you see how hard it is? And I'm like, yeah, man. I was like, how are we gonna break? We gotta cut that thing with a saw or something. He's like, no, just put it in the fire. Mm. So I put it in the fire and I pull this thing out and he was like, hit it. I just hit it, it breaks.
Mm.
And he was like, I was like, whoa, that's like magic. And he was like, no, it's just, it's the temper. That's where the word tempering come from, you know? And so even though it still can be super strong, it also can be super weak. So there's no strength without weakness.
Mm-hmm.
There's this balance. If you treat it right, if you treat your weakness right, you can also become very strong.
Mm.
As that rock, it was just brittle. But then, you know, as you start to forge this thing out, you can make it into a piece of steel that mm-hmm. can't be broken. I hear that in your story. I think that's very powerful because, you know, you're like, I'm given a script. I don't know. You know, how to read these things without help. But then I discovered you can say them to me and they just stick.
Right.
You know, so that's how I'm going to win.
Mm.
You know, that's where I'm going to see the success at.
That happened to me when I got ready to shoot my first infomercial. Usually when you shoot an infomercial, they want you to go by script.
Mm.
And I went, if I have to go by script, then I'm not going to do what I'm good at doing. You know, because you're making me do something that's not natural, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, you gotta use the script. So I tried my best for 8 hours, trying to memorize everything. The director would go, action. And I would just couldn't do it, you know? And so the guy said, cut. And so when they would cut, I went in the back and I just went back there and I started praying. You know, I had my microphone on and he heard me. And he said, hey, throw away the script and do what your God wants you to do. Mm. So I came back out, I went boom, flew right through the videos, did the infomercial, and they came out and they put the infomercial on TV. Nobody even thought that the infomercial was going to do what it did, but it broke records. It sold more videos than the movie Titanic.
Wow.
It came in second to Austin Powers. And I don't think in history you're probably going to never see another video that come out that's going to ever do, especially exercising video, that's going to do what that video has done. You know, and it's because the guy let me be honest with what I was talking about and just be upfront.
Yeah.
And they shot it with the purpose of truly helping people. They didn't have to clean. I didn't want them to clean it up. I just wanted them to see that people, it's hard for people to work out. I want to see that people struggle. I want them to see that even me as an instructor, I fall off balance. I'm not perfect. And people saw that. And then when I talk to people, I would say to them, listen, you have a will. There's a way. No will, there's no way. So all I'm asking you guys to do is give me a chance to come into your house. Get up off the couch. Give me an opportunity to come into your house. Watch and see what happens. And I guarantee you, you start to change things in your life. And all of a sudden, that video went out. It was like, who would ever think that video would sell 115 million copies?
Wow.
whatever thing. It come out, and it came out of the projects in the basement. And I always say that. I'll sit down, I'm talking to people. I go, can you believe it? I said, you know what? I can't even read. And I created a word that's in a dictionary. Who would ever think that I'd be that person who would create this word? And I said, you know what? There's a lot of people out there just like me that can do just what I'm doing. It's just you got to have the heart and soul and will to want to work at it and not give up, not quit.
Yeah. You know?
And to me, it's funny. You know, it really is. It's like, whoa, who would ever think? T-A-E-V-O is in the dictionary. It's an acronym. Back in time when I was trying to write, I couldn't even tell you what was on the piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, God blessed me to be able to create a word. You say T, take, A, action, E, execute, B, believe, O, overcome.
Wow.
Show me one person in life that don't need to do those five things. So I said, that's what I'm going to have people do when they come in my studio. Take those letters and put them in their heart and do what they need to do to help themselves be the best they can be.
Wow. Wow. I think that message got lost on me that Taibo actually meant that. Mm-hmm. Like when I was coming up, I was like, oh, is this like a form of Thai boxing? Like what's going on? Mm-hmm. And like to hear that, man, that's so real. That's so powerful. Like I've been on television and I did a show. I did two different shows about survival. And one was like a more Hollywood style version of it. And the other one was just bare bones called Naked and Afraid. You get naked, no clothes, no water. You go out into the wilderness and you just got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that show is wildly more popular than the other one. And when I look back and I review that, I think it was because the authenticity of it all is like, when Hollywood tries to recreate that, that's when things don't go too well.
Right.
But when they let you just do what you do, you know, and you're authentic, the authentic you comes out. That's what people connect with.
Yeah, you speak to the heart of the person.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people are still missing that, especially now, like in the business world. You know, I own a business, I own a martial arts studio, and I listen to all these podcasts and I listen to these people and they're talking about this and they're talking about that. And now the term is being authentic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's still so much commercialism around that term now. Mm-hmm. And like what authentic you, what that really is, and really finding that and then really being able to reach out to that, because people will find that, they'll see that in you and they'll come to that. And that's one of the things that I've been having to learn as I grow. Like I told you, at 9, I told my mom I wanted to be a ninja. They laughed because they didn't think that there was any way to make a living doing
that. That's funny.
You know,
I told my mom I want to be a world champion. Boy, go somewhere and sit down.
Right.
They laughed. It all came down to, I know when my mom was coming up, she came up in the time where, you know, slaves and stuff was coming. So when you talk about a vision, I think back in those days, people's visions were snatched. Mm. So when I went to her and said something, Mom, I'm going to be a world champion. She go somewhere and sit down. You need to get your job. Go to work. I said, wait, this, you know, karate is it's going to be my job. No, you need to get a real job, right? Mm. And I understood where she was coming from. But then I knew deep down in my heart, God didn't give her the vision. He gave it to me. You know, I think when you talk to people about your vision and what you get, most people, I call those kind of people dream snatchers, right? Because the dream and the vision didn't come to them. It came to you. So when you go tell people about your dream, they go, you're not going to be able to do that. That's too hard for you. Mm. Yeah, you're probably too hard for me because you didn't see it. God gave it to me to see. And I believe that because I got that vision to see it, I can get it. All I got to do is go to work. Mm. Am I willing to work, right? And I was. And because I stayed on it and not let anybody take me off that path, sat here talking to you. I mean, I would never be doing it, and you wouldn't be doing your thing if you wouldn't have stayed on your path to do what you needed to do. So I always tell people, I say, you know, life is not easy. Life is a test. You know, people say, God always tests you, you know? And I go, God don't test you. Life does. Mm. God already knows what you're going to do. Why would God need to test me? God don't need to test me. I test my own self. You know, when you get up every day, there's going to be a test. Do you want to get out of bed? Do you want to get out of bed, or don't you want to get out of bed? It's going to be up to me. I have to make a choice. And the choices I make is what's going to happen. And I realize that. So I just know I'm a guy who loves work and I love faith. Mm. And I like to take both of them and put them together and see what happens. Mm. I ain't got nothing to lose. I always tell people, say, listen, I don't got nothing to lose. I can always go back and be what I used to be. Mm. It's sitting there waiting for me. So let me see what faith can do with me, along with the action that I'm. I love the work, and I love to see people smile and be happy and work hard too. So this took. I look at my life and I did it like that and go, whoa. Now look at where I'm sitting, you know?
Knowledge bombs. We tend to drop them a lot around here, and we appreciate your feedback and support for the information, interviews, and perspectives shared. Become a Patreon supporter for Survive University and get additional exclusive content not shared during the podcast. Patreon subscribers also get information on other Survive University products and projects before they're released to the public. So visit patreon.com/Survive University and join us as we continue on this journey to get ready, be ready, and stay ready like never before.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, that lesson speaks so much to me because, you know, I've now turned that around. So I used to, you know, I'm a teacher, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm a dreamer as well and a visionary. Mm-hmm. And so as I go through my life, I've had people, because sometimes my dreams are just so big and out there, you mm-hmm. know, in the last 11 years, I got out of the Army. My wife left me. You know, I got out of Army for her. You know, I had dreams I was going to be a Delta Force operator, and it looked like I was on that path. I was doing really good. And she said, me or the Army, and I chose her. Got out, started my business, and 2 months into it, she left. And so then I had to struggle through that. But I said it like, I'm going to open this business. I'm going to be the best at it. I'm going to have my own building. And 11 years later, I own my own building and I have the business and I'm growing and I'm doing all this. But this idea of vision and this idea that people can't see what you see in your heart, what God gave you in your heart. And it's because of that. Sometimes there's three people. There's the person who thinks that maybe you know what you're talking about and it's bigger than what they are. So they want to shut it down. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they care about you. So they're not sure where that's coming from and they're afraid because they can't see it. So they want to shut it down. They're like, no, do this. This is a safer route for you. And sometimes people are in between, you know, and now for my students, what I tell them, they'll come to me all the time and they'll be like, man, you're successful. So what did you do? Like, you know, what do you think about this idea? And I'm very careful where I say, hey, I tried that when I opened my business. It didn't work for me. But I'm not you, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So you may be the one to change things, you know? So I can't tell you it's not possible because you could be the person that makes it possible because flying wasn't possible because, you know, going to the depths of the ocean wasn't possible. Mm-hmm. You know, you doing Tai Bo was not possible for anyone else but you. You know, and that is super powerful. I really love that about your story, hearing that. And that's a lesson that people, I think, need to learn. Mm-hmm. With your family, how does it work with your family?
My brothers and sisters? Or
no, you have children?
Yes.
Okay.
I have five kids.
Wow, five.
And we have one daughter who's super. Mm-hmm. She's also a master's teacher.
Okay.
She does martial arts. She was a black belt martial arts. She won a World Jiu-Jitsu Championship, Taekwondo mm-hmm. Championships, and became a Taekwondo instructor and teaches in Tennessee.
Wow.
And then I have a son who also do the same thing that we're doing, but he don't do Taibo. He does his own style of dance.
Okay.
And I have my young daughter right now. She's half Japanese, half American.
Okay.
That's going to be super too when she comes up, because she watches me all the time. She's always trying to follow me. And any of my kids, I don't say, hey, you got to do what I'm doing. All I want you to do is be the best person you can be and never give up. You know, I always, because, you know, especially now, you know, I'm 63 years old. I have a 10-year-old daughter. And when I watch her, I always watch and see what's going on. And I say, hey, Angelica, you know what? Don't lose your patience. Take your time, pace yourself, watch and see what happens. If you have patience, you're going to be able to change things. But if you don't, then you're going to end up falling off and you're going to get mad. You're going to do something stupid. It's not going to help you. So for me, it's about teaching her to always stay patient, have patience. Mm-hmm. And then my older kids, is like they all work hard. And they all stay focused and they do what they want to do with their life. Mm-hmm. But I think along the way, I think for me, the most important thing about what we do and what I do with people and students is to get them a chance to see out of their own eyes that they have power and authority. Mm. Like, I don't like the word try. Hate the word try. I don't like the word try. I don't use the word try. I took it out of my life 40 years ago. And I'll never use it again. The only time I do use it is when I'm working with people. And I got to try to teach you. I don't like to say that because I know how to teach you, but it's going to be up to you if you allow me to do it. So out of respect, I'll use that word. But I don't like to try. It's because for me, trying is quitting. You give up. I always tell people, listen, I can say, try to walk through that door. You don't have to try. You know how to walk through that door. Might not be able to walk through it the way you want to walk through it, but eventually, if you keep walking through it, you're going to get the confidence to walk through it the way you want to. So don't try. Just go for it. And I think when you do it like that, then people go, whoa. Like when people come to me, they'll say, hey, Billy, I got this project I've been trying to get off for almost 4 years now. I say, stop. Keep trying. Because ain't nobody going to help you.
Yeah.
Because you're telling people you've been trying something for 4 to 5 years and you haven't done it yet. Say, why don't you walk up to a person and go, hey, I got a new project and I'm about to get off. Get off now, and if you want to be involved with it, I would love to have you involved with it, but if you don't, I'm going to go somewhere else and somebody else is going to help me with it, but I'm coming to you first because I think you had the ability to help me get it to go where I wanted to go. But if you went there and you said, hey, I've been trying to get this off for almost 4 years now, can you try to help me? And people going to go, no, keep trying. Right. They won't just say it like that, but just blow you off. Go, maybe let's talk about it later on. Then next thing you know, you don't even see him.
Yeah.
Right? So I try to do my best not to say that unless I'm talking to people and I'm going, because some people don't understand the word try. Mm-hmm. Like the way I feel like I understand the word try. Mm-hmm. And for me, try don't.
Yeah.
Let me say, try to read. I read every day. If I don't read every day, I'm going to have a dyslexic problem, right? I make sure I get up and I read newspaper and I write down things. I got to make sure I study it, you know what I mean? Because I know that if I don't study it, I'm going to write something that I think I wrote and it's not what I wrote and it looks bad. So I just make sure I'm working on the right things to do.
Yeah.
So
you're the second person I've heard in my life to tell me that personally, to have a conversation with me. I have a mentor, and he's in his late 70s. And I remember when I started my business, you know, I was telling him, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. And he was like, what are you trying for? You know? And I was like, no, you know what I mean. I'm like, I'm trying to get it off the ground. And he's like, don't try, just do it. And I was like, and then he got really upset. And I was like, Why? What's going on here? And not upset like in a mean way, but upset like in, no, this is what I'm saying. I want you to hear this. And he stopped me and he paused me and he was just like, words mean something. He's like, so what you say, what you're saying is setting you up to not get what you want, what you're trying to accomplish. And I need you to understand that. And I was like, that was so profound. And so to hear you say it again, is like that that second opportunity for me to get that ingrained in my life to continue to move on with that and understand that. So
you know, too, if you do this right, you say, and I always tell people, I don't tell people what to believe in. I say, mm-hmm. you believe in what you want to believe in, but whatever you believe in, make sure it's more powerful than you. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to go beyond you. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, think about this. Go in the Bible and see if you can find the word try. Mm. You're never going to find it in the Bible. Only one time. Mm. You hear God go, try me out. Watch and see what I'll do for your life. That's the only time you'll see it. You will never see God say, I'm going to try to help you. No, I'm going to help you. All you got to do is allow me to do it. Right? So if I'm going after something, I'm not trying. Because if I do, I know I'm not going. I'm not going to get anything I want to get out of life. Never coming. Never. Mm-hmm. But if I go and say, you know what? Let me take the road. Let me go for what I need to do to help myself be the best that I can be. Then I'm walking down the track that sooner or later I'm going to start to see progress. Because I'm walking down that track every day. Mm-hmm. Every day seeing myself getting better, and next thing you know, you're doing really what you set out to do.
Yeah.
But I got it from the Bible, like for months, because I love to read the Bible, like read all kind of books, but I always study the Bible. So again, let me see what God thinks. I looked in the Bible and said, let me see what God thinks of fitness. I want to see what God thinks. That's what started my whole fitness career off. So let me look in the Bible and see what God thinks of fitness. It's like 200 scriptures in the Bible that God talks about fitness. When he talks about fitness, he don't talk about it in the way that people think he would. Most people talk about fitness from the physical side. God don't talk about it. God talk about fitness. God said the mind and will profits more. He didn't talk about the spirit. He said the mind and will profits more and the body profits less. So that tells me that anytime that I'm going to be working out, I got to start training my mind and my will. And my body will reap the results of how I feel about myself. Like I was telling the instructors today, I said, say this out loud. I look and act like my mind and will. And I said, say it again. I look and act like my mind and will. I said, that's a powerful statement. Say it like this. I look and act like my body. That's how most people are. Mm. They look like what they see. They get discouraged. They go on a scale, see numbers, they quit. That ain't me. I have a will and I have a mind. I can overpower those numbers. I can bring my body in control. And I was asking them this. I said, who owns your body? And I was asking everybody, who owns your body? Mm. They go, I do. I said, yeah. See how you say it with no confidence? That's why you can't get anything done. I said, ask me that question. They go, who owns your body? I do. I own my body. And then I said, ask them again. I said, who owns your body? They go, I do. You know what I said to them? Bring it under control. Let me see if you own it. Because if you do, that means you can make it do what you want it to do. But you can't do that unless you understand your mind and will.
Absolutely. So, all right, my preps, that's our episode for today. Thank you for listening and building your education in preparation with us. Please remember, real survival is not about what you can do as an individual, but when we empower those around us and we lift up everyone as a community. Due to this, we ask that you share this podcast with your friends, and we always appreciate any type of review that you leave us. In addition, if you're looking for training and you're looking for how to learn how to survive, you can join us at our website at surviveuniversity.com. You could also send us an email about any information or questions you might have at surviveuniversity@gmail.com. And as always, we want you to get ready, stay ready, and be ready. I'm Hakeem Isler.
I'm Main J, the OG.
And we will talk to you guys on the next episode.